Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he sees. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. The diligent, and he purifies the weak. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of power. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless.
Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And it is good to be here this evening. And tonight, we're going to be taking a break from the three categories of sin series, and we're going to take a look at the book of Romans. And we're going to start with Romans chapter 1 tonight. And what I probably will do is that Friday nights, I will dedicate my Friday night broadcast with doing a more expository teaching of the Bible. And Sundays will be dedicated towards the sermon, any sermons or any messages the Lord lays in my heart. And so we're going to see how that plays out and stuff like that, and see how that well that goes. And so you pray for me on that. Pray that God would receive the glory. Pray that God's will be done in all this. Amen. And pray that, you know, that there might be, you know, just this would be a blessing to all those who listen and those who, you know, to all those who listen and watch. So, but with that said, we're going to get into a couple of announcements here. So just to let everyone know, there's going to be a broadcast tonight, and there's going to be a broadcast, obviously there's one tonight, there's going to be a broadcast Sunday evening at, 7 o'clock? No, 8 o'clock, sorry, 8 o'clock. Sunday at 8 o'clock is going to be our broadcast time. You know, I think I'll probably just do Friday night at 8 as well. So you got those two broadcasting times. But there's going to be a broadcast on Sunday along with today. But after Sunday, I'm going to be not doing a broadcast for a couple weeks. So I'm going to be taking a bit of a break. And, you know, just kind of just take a break and, you know, just kind of, you know, recharge my batteries a little bit. So you pray for me on that. And, when I'm done, and actually I will pick up, doing videos at the start of 2021. So be when I, it'll be kind of after my break time, I will come back and continue doing videos. So there won't be any, so after Sunday for a couple weeks, there won't be any videos. So don't look for them. Going to be just taking some time away, charge my batteries a little bit, kind of just, kind of get a break from doing videos for a couple weeks, for a week or two, and then we'll get right back into it. And then, what else? I know there was something else that I was thinking of, and I can't think of it right now, but, oh yeah, Christmas is coming up. The Christmas holidays are coming up. Won't mention a whole lot about that. Just, you know, Christmas is coming up, New Year's is coming up. Let's see, what else? I think that is going to be it. I don't know. Unless if it comes back to me, then I will, you know, I'll kind of mention something at the end. But, excuse me. So, let's see here. So with that said, we'll go to prayers and praises. If you guys have any prayers or praises, you can feel free to mention them in the comments of the videos. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're even watching us online on Facebook, you can feel free to, if you have any prayer requests or praises you'd like to say or mention, you can feel free to mention those. And then, I guess for me, if you can pray for me, for my ministry, pray for my videos, pray that they would be a blessing to all those who watch, pray that people will have an understanding of the Word of God. We're entering in a time right now where the Word of God needs to be preached and taught, and we need to just preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. So pray for me on that. Pray for these videos. Pray that God will just use them in a mighty way, and pray that, you know, God's will be done. Amen. So pray for me. Pray for just, you know, I have some unspoken requests. If you can pray for those as well. Let's see, what else do we have here? I think that's going to be it for prayer requests. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and, I guess we'll go ahead and get started, because, I've got some information I want to share with you, and I'd like to try to get through all of Romans chapter 1 tonight. If not, there will be a part 2, and we will pick up sort of kind of where we left off. And we'll kind of go from there. All right, so with that said, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And we're going to start in chapter 1. Now, before we sort of begin, I kind of want to give you just a little bit of background information on the book of Romans. So we'll go ahead and get started. Romans, The author of Romans, as we will see, is the Apostle Paul. And Romans is the, I guess, to what I was taught and learned, was like the righteousness of God. And we'll kind of get into what that means here, and kind of go through a little bit of that. But the content of the book is really towards the Romans. It's the complete and systematic presentation of God's salvation, sanctification, and sovereignty. For sinners, you know, for the saints and all of, and over Israel. I guess I'm not saying that as clear as I should, but let me re-say that, because that was probably a lot of mumble jumble and probably no one really understood me all that well. But the content is Romans is the most complete and systematic presentation of God's plan of salvation for sinners, sanctification for saints, and sovereignty over Israel and all scripture. It really gets into, we get into grace, we get into the salvation plan. I'm sure you guys know the term, the Romans road. You got the gospel tracks on that. It takes a step by step on how to be saved. What is salvation? What do you have to do for salvation? And what is salvation? What do you have to do to get it? It really dives into salvation. It really shows, I'm shaking everything now, and I apologize for that. But it really gets into, the Romans really gets into salvation and who needs to be saved. It really gets into what salvation is. And we see that, I guess you could say that the theme could be the righteousness of God. Without the law, by faith in Christ. So we're talking about grace, okay? What is grace, okay? We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, for it is the gift of God. Amen? So we see that we're righteous not because of our own works. We're righteous because it is Christ's righteousness that went upon us at the cross. So on the cross, our sins went on Christ, and his righteousness came on us. And that is God's righteousness. That is Christ's righteousness that is on us. So when God sees us, he doesn't see us, but he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that it is by faith we have Christ's righteousness. It is through faith. It's grace through faith. Grace, I've heard an acronym of grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen. And as we go through Romans, we're going to see that salvation is a gift. Okay, it's a gift, but that gift came at a price. That came at the price of Christ dying on the cross for our sins. Amen. That came at, salvation came at the price of Christ dying on the cross. Grace, Jesus Christ is the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what I've heard what grace can be put as, if it was to put into an acronym. The date and time of the book of Romans, I would say, and this is not a definite answer, but I would say it was probably the Roman the book of Romans was could have been written anywhere from 56 to 57 AD. So 56 to 57 AD, it was probably written near close to Paul's third missionary journey from the city of Corinth. Okay? And so, so towards the end of his missionary journeys. Now, really quickly, we'll just kind of go through a quick overview, and then we'll dive into the book. Romans chapters 1 through 5 deal with salvation. Romans 6 through 8 kind of deal with sanctification. Romans 9 through 11 deal with sovereignty. And Romans 12 through 16 deals with service. Okay? So with that said, why don't we go ahead and if you have your Bibles with you and turn to Romans, we'll go ahead and get started. And we're going to read all of Romans 1, and we're going to kind of explain some things throughout while reading the first chapter of Romans, okay? So Romans chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Let's stop right there for a second, because there is things in that verse that is really meaningful. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, you might be asking yourselves, well, Brandon, how can the apostle, Paul, how is Paul an apostle? I thought there were only 12 apostles, not 13. Well, that's a good point. You see that there are 12 original apostles. But now you might say, well, that's a contradiction. Well, not necessarily. Okay? Because one of the qualifications that you had to be an apostle was you had to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. You had to witness the glorified form of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Now, you might say, well, Paul wasn't there when he was resurrected. Yeah, that's true. But he did see Christ on the road to Damascus. Okay, let's see here. If you hold your place in Romans, okay, turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And we're going to read the story about Saul's conversion. Okay? So if you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read starting in verse 1. It says, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying on him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So I want to make a point on something, okay? Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus to persecute Christians, okay? Saul was the only one who saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens, okay? The heavens opened up and he saw him, okay? And he had a conversation with the Lord. Now, don't ask me how that's how that is, because I can't even explain it myself. But he had a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Now you might say, well, okay, well, what, Brandon, what does that have to do with anything about being an apostle? Okay. Well, let's see here. Let me look. Apostle. Let's go. Oops, that's not. Let's do apostles. Let's go here. Let's see here. Let's go to Acts chapter, let's go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1. Let's see here. Gotta find it here. Let's see here. Wonder. Okay. So let's read in Acts chapter 1 and let's read in verse 15. It says, And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was to guide them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Ecclesiadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. That right there, folks, is the is the requirements of an apostle. Okay? Beginning from the baptism of John onto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us. So they had to be at the baptism of John, and they had to see him being resurrected and taken up. Now let me ask you a question. Don't you think that Saul could have been one of the Pharisees that came to the baptism of John? Well, I don't know. But it's very likely that he could have been there. So Saul meets that requirement. Saul, who became Paul, met that requirement. Right? Now, taken up, okay, that's in his resurrected state. Does he meet that? Does Paul meet that requirement? Yes, he does. Paul met the requirement of, he could have been, potentially been one of the Pharisees that were at John's baptism, and Saul saw the Lord in his glorified form. So the question is, did he meet both requirements? Yes. I think it would be safe to say he did meet those requirements to be an apostle. Okay, he did. Now, if you want further proof, okay, in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. In 2 Corinthians 11, 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. So, by the way, the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved. Paul was moved by the Holy Ghost and he spake truth. Okay? If the Apostle Paul was lying about being an apostle, okay, well, first of all, if he wasn't an apostle, he wouldn't have witnessed. He couldn't, you know, Paul wasn't lying about being his an apostle. As a matter of fact, if you read the book 2 Corinthians, we see that there is a part of 2 Corinthians where he's defending his apostleship. Because the church of Corinth was being deceived into thinking that Paul wasn't a true apostle, that he was just some wannabe. But the book of 2 Corinthians deals with Paul defending himself as an apostle. Okay? So we see here in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated onto the gospel of God. So the question is Paul really an apostle? Yes. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Even though he wasn't part of the original 12, he was called to be an apostle. He saw Jesus Christ in his glorified form after he was raised from the dead, and he could have likely been at the at John's, you know, when John the Baptist was baptizing people, he could have been most likely one of those Pharisees that was among them. Okay? So therefore, if that's the case, then he meets both of those requirements. So therefore, Paul is right in what he said, right when he says, when he writes by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he is right when he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And we just read that he does not lie. The Apostle Paul does not lie. He didn't lie. He says, I lie not, my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. So even his conscience was bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Amen? So Paul didn't lie about that. So, with that said, we'll get the record straight on that particular issue. Now we'll go ahead and start reading on and continuing on with the rest of the chapter. Okay? It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now we won't dive too much into that, because if you want to go read the book of Matthew, and also go read the book of Luke. Okay? David is in the line and genealogy of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, the son of David, okay, is a term to describe his heirship to the throne. The term son of David is a term to describe the relationship that Christ has with the throne of David. If that makes sense. That's why sometimes you hear people say son of David. Amen. Now, the son of Abraham is the relationship between Christ and the inheritance of Israel, the land. Okay? Son of David is talking about the relationship between Christ and the throne of David. Okay? Now, it says, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, I want to stop right there for a second and kind of address this issue too. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. What is Paul writing here? Paul, I believe, is writing about not just to himself, but all the other apostles that were ordained apostles. Means the 12 original apostles and the apostle Paul. That's 13 apostles. Think about that. 13 is a number for love. Think about that. Okay, so you have, but the question now, you might be saying, well, could, but the thing is, how can he just be talking about him and himself? Aren't there any apostles today? Well, let me tell you something. Your King James Bible is complete and needs no other books. There's no other books missing. This is your complete Bible, folks. And guess what? At the end of Revelation, after Revelation was written, that's it. God's done talking through that. He speaks to us through his word. There is no more apostles, which means there are no more books. The office of apostle is closed. There is no more apostles. So don't let people con you into thinking that they are apostles, because they don't have any, because people who claim to be apostles are also claiming they have the authority by God to write his word. And his word has been made complete. And if his word is made complete, there is no more apostles. Okay? So I personally believe Paul is talking about himself along with the 12 original apostles. Okay? So by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Without ceasing. Okay? Oops. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. Okay, think about that. Praying without ceasing. And the Apostle Paul here in verse 9, it says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Always. Means Paul was always praying for certain people. Always. He was always praying for people. Okay? Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you, also even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Alright, so let's talk about that for a second here, okay? Well, first, Paul says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise, okay? I'm a debtor both to, okay, so debtor. We are not to be in debt, but to love one another, okay? We're to love one another. And Paul, he preached the gospel to everybody. But if you notice, Paul first went to the Jews, and then he went to the group, then he went to the Gentiles. So every city he'd go to, he'd first go to a synagogue and preach to his own people. But it got to a point where the Jews weren't listening. And he shook the dust off and said, I'm going over to the Gentiles. So Paul preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, did Paul just say, well, forget my people, I don't care about them anymore? Of course not. But he had to move on to the Gentiles. Now, when I say that, okay, Paul has prayed that his people would be saved one of these days, okay? Paul's prayer is that his people would be saved. And I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, that prayer will be answered. It will be answered. Now, all the Jews, all of them may not be saved, but there's going to be 12,000 of them that are going to get saved. No, I'm sorry, not 12,000. I'm sorry. My mind's going everywhere. It's 144,000. 144,000 are going to get saved. It's going to be 12,000 from each tribe. There are 12 tribes of Israel, and 12,000 of each tribe are going to get saved. And 144,000 Jews are going to get saved. Paul's prayer is going to get answered one of these days. But we are in the times, these are the times of the Gentiles. The gospel is being reached to us, okay? It was first reached to the Jews. Okay? Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. But he also said, I am come to the house of Israel first. And so that's why he really wasn't doing a whole lot with the Gentiles. But you'll realize, even in Jesus' day, the Gentiles had faith. They had faith in God. They had faith in God. Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to see if I can find that verse I was referencing, because I know I'm going to butcher it. Let's see. Let's do House of Israel. House of Israel. Let's see here. Oh, that's a lot. Let me see if I can find it here. Here we go. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, it says, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? But then when the apostles came, they went to the Jews first, and then they went to the Gentiles. Okay, so Paul went to the Gentiles because the Jews constantly rejected. Now, eventually, God is going to go back to the Jews. So we're in the times of the Gentiles now. But eventually, God is going to go back to Israel, and 144,000 are going to get saved. 12,000 from each tribe are going to get saved. Amen? 12,000. That's from each tribe. That's a lot of people. Amen? But God is not done with Israel yet. Don't ever let people tell you that he is. God still has a plan for Israel. So we see that, so as much as in me, as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome, also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God. See, we see the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Stop right there for a second, okay? How shall the just live? By faith. Let's just put your finger there for a second. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Okay? Hebrews 11. I'm telling you, I'm getting excited. It says in verse 1, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Now, let's see. Let's go down to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, the just shall live by faith. Let me ask you a question. Who are the just? The people who are just are those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that have come to Christ and put their faith and trust in Christ. Amen. And they put their faith and trust in Christ at what he did for you at the cross. Okay. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is the epicenter of our walk. You notice it says the just shall live by faith. It does not say the just shall live by the law. Paul does not write that. He says the just shall live by faith. It is, we are saved by grace through faith. through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, for it is the gift of God. Amen. Saved by grace. Okay. Let's see here. Let's do grace through faith. Grace through faith. Grace through you guys, okay, so, well, never mind. Well, but you get what I'm saying here. We're saved by grace through faith, none of ourselves, lest any man should boast. It does not say the just shall live by the law, okay? By the way, the law was our schoolmaster, okay? And the purpose of the law was to point us to Christ. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what? Listen, folks, justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. It says faith. It only says faith. There is no law. It is by faith alone the just shall live by. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Do you have faith tonight? It is by faith that we're justified. It is by faith that we walk. It is by faith that we please and serve God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Isn't that good news? The law is our schoolmaster. Once we have faith, we're no longer under the law. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. But is the law good? Yes. Is the law still applicable? Yes. You can use the law to show people that they are sinners in need of a savior. But you can't be saved by the keeping of the law, because by the law, no flesh will be justified. Amen? No flesh will be justified by the law. It is only done by faith. Only by faith. Okay? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Think about what man is trying to do nowadays. Man is trying to create God into all these creeping things like snakes and four-footed beasts and dogs and all that stuff. Okay? Now think about that. Think about what Israel did. They made a golden calf, didn't they? They made a golden calf. And they worshipped it. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus 30. Okay, Exodus 30. I'm kind of moving fast because I want to try to get all of chapter 1 done tonight if I can. If not, we'll have to pick up and we'll have to pick up from a different time, okay? But Exodus chapter Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Okay. It says this, starting verse 1. It says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Think about that. That is a capital L. Now, Aaron was not talking about the Lord, the Lord God. I mean, in a sense, he did, but he equated it. He equated God as a golden calf. And they worshipped it, and they defiled themselves because of it. And as a result, Aaron took that thing, he smashed it in pieces, ground it into powder, stuck it in water, and made Israel drink it. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 20. That's what we see here in Romans 20, in Romans chapter 1, verse 23, it says, And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Israel took and made a molten calf and said, These be your gods, O Israel. Let's make a feast to the Lord. Israel did this. And that's what we just read. And we see that today. And by the way, really quickly, turn with me to Revelation. Revelation 13. Okay. Let's start Revelation 13 and let's start in verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause it as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Pretty soon, man's going to make an image of a beast. And that image is going to cause people, is going to kill all the people on the earth that refuse to worship it. What we see in Exodus is a type and picture of what is going to happen and what's to come down on in our pipeline. History repeats itself. There is no new thing under the sun. Amen. They're gonna change the glory of the uncorruptible God and change it into an image made like the corruptible man. Future tense is Antichrist. Past tense, it was a molten calf. They're doing this thing, whether we believe it or not. It's coming. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Think about that. Israel made a molten calf. That is a creature. They worshiped that creature more than they did the Creator. What are people going to wonder and worship in the future? They're going to worship the beast. They're going to worship the Antichrist. They're going to worship the creation rather than the Creator. And I don't want to offend some people, but that's what you get with all these professional tree huggers. They're worshiping the land. They're worshiping everything instead of worshiping God. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Here's the thing. The sodomite movement, the LGBTQ, men with men, women and women. God says it's not natural. God said that man left the natural use of the woman. Burned in their lusts, man and man. God said that nature teaches us that that's wrong. That men and men is wrong. Nature even teaches that sodomy is wrong. Why? Because even in nature, you see a male and a female animal mate. And they reproduce after their kind. So even nature teaches us that is wrong, that sodomy is wrong. Now listen, you can hate me all you want to. But that's what God said in his word. Nature teaches us that men and men and women is unnatural. It's not natural. It's unnatural. God does not approve of that. He doesn't. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. Sodomy is not convenient. It's inconvenient. But sadly, God has handed those people over to a reprobate mind. Now, can sodomites change? Can sodomites get saved? Can sodomites be no longer sodomites? The answer is yes. Sodomites can get saved. If they get saved, then they no longer will be sodomites. They will be straight as an arrow. They will be. It is possible. But even in our days, you know, it seems as if it's very unlikely. Well, I mean, I don't want to say unlikely, but there's not a high probability of them changing. And most likely either because your conscience is seared with a hot iron or God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. And God can do that. Okay? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let me give you an example of this verse here. Okay? You might be as straight as an arrow. Or you might be, you might be as straight as an arrow. But if you're putting yourself out there and you're watching things that you shouldn't be watching, things that pertain to be unnatural, things that are, you know, that's sinful, even watching those things is just as bad as actually doing those things. That's why when it says that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you take pleasure and all that list that we mentioned, do you take pleasure in that? Because if you do, it says you're worthy of death. Those who are worthy of death and those things, it's not just those who do those actions, it's those who take pleasure in them. So even watching something or listening to something is worthy of death. People may not like that, but that's what Paul writes. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Think about that. Think about our elections. Think about socialism and communism. Do you know what the apex and the epicenter of communism and socialism is? Covetousness. Thievery. Stealing, lying. Why do you think the Democrats are cheating? Why do you think they cheated? Well, first of all, because they're reprobate minds. God handed those, all these Democrats that are cheating, God handed those Democrats over to a reprobate mind, whether, you know, whether Democrat or Republican. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, You know, socialism and communism are haters of God. They hate God's people. They hate the truth. You know why? Because they love darkness because of their sin. Despiteful. They're proud. You know, there's a term for those who are proud. There's a term that denotes someone who is proud. That term is blowhard. Now, many of you guys on Facebook, if you know, you know this, that I would sometimes would say, he's a blowhard, she's a blowhard, so-and-so is a blowhard. You're probably wondering what a blowhard is. Well, let's go ahead and look that up. But essentially, a blowhard is somebody who is proud and arrogant. Okay? But a blowhard is a person who blusters and boasts in an unpleasant way. That's what a blowhard is. A blowhard is a person who blusters and boasts in an unpleasant way. That's funny. Yeah, proud and then boasters. Inventors of evil things. A person who blusters and boasts in an unpleasant way. That's a blowhard. That's a blowhard. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Take a look at the average family nowadays. Children are so disobedient to parents, and do you know why? Because parents don't know how to parent their kids. Parents, if your children are out of line, you got to give them a spanking. You need to spank your kids when they've done wrong. But you need to show and tell them that you need to show them and let them know that you love them. And spanking your kids is not a crime. They're trying to make it a crime, but it's not a crime. It's actually a loving thing to do. Well, if you spank your kids, you know, what about all the mental problems they're going to have and all this stuff? Well, you can't prove that nonsense. Parents who discipline their kids, those kids will actually, they may not like it, but they'll respect you for it. They will respect you for it. So I don't want to hear this nonsense that disciplining your kids is going to cause them serious psychological harm, because that's a bunch of garbage from the pit of hell. Give me a break. You know, when I'm out of line, you know what God does? He chastises me. God chastises me because I'm his son. I'm very thankful that God does that. You know why? Because by chastisement, I know that I'm his child. Okay, let's turn with me to Romans again. Or let's Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll read chapter 12, verse 5, starting of verse 5. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof of all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? When you've got parents that don't correct their kids, you're going to have kids that will grow up and they're not just disrespect you, okay? But they're going to be disobedient to you. And they're going to do whatever they want because they think they'll get away with it. So parents, be aware of how you raise your kids. Just saying. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, know not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And you guys, believe it or not, that is chapter 1. That is chapter 1. So with that said, we're going to actually be done for today, because that is chapter 1. That is chapter 1 from the book of Romans. Amen. So listen, you guys, I love you guys. Okay, I'm not trying to be mean or pick on you. Okay, I'm trying to tell you the truth. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. For it is the gift of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you want to know, you can know tonight for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Okay, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know for sure today. You can know today. For today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next few hours. We're only guaranteed now. We're only guaranteed now. Amen. If you go before the Lord, repent of your sins, admit that you are a sinner and repent, and you call out to God, and you put your faith and trust in what he did for you at the cross, and you cry to God, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not may be saved. Not may not be saved. It says shall be saved. Amen. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And God's word will not return void. Amen. Amen. Well, that's all I got for you today. It's kind of an overview of, it's kind of just kind of like a, I don't know if you want to say a brief overview, but that was chapter 1. Hopefully you got something out of this tonight. Listen, You know, it's I pray and hope this is a blessing. If only one person watches this and gets it, it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. But anyways, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Now remember, you guys, broadcast on Sunday. After Sunday, there won't be a broadcast for a couple weeks. Give me a chance to kind of recuperate and recharge my batteries. After that, I will come back and we'll come back online and we'll broadcast. We'll continue doing our broadcast from there. Also, this is what I want to say, and I didn't mention this at the top of the program, okay? But the good news is I have less than 24 hours before I can start streamliving on my regular wall. So, on Sunday, I'm going to be streamliving, doing my live video on my regular wall and not my backup wall. So, I'll be getting out of Facebook jail soon, so we can be doing these broadcasts on the regular wall. And so that's good news. And so just pray for me on that. And, you know, and hopefully we can, you know, make a difference. Amen. We need to get the word out. People need to get the gospel. They need to know who Christ is. People need to get saved. This is a time when people should get saved. Amen. So we need to get people need to get saved. They need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. So with that said, that's going to be it for tonight. Love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a great night. And we'll see you Sunday. God bless you guys. See ya. Bye.